I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having a great Friday. During a commercial break, Allie came in, our great producer, Allie. She said, Clay, you had three kids. You know, your wife went back to work. Some people might think, well, I have a good life now. We didn't have much money when we had our first kid, Buck. Like, I was 28 years old. I had to work. My wife had to go back to work soon after that baby was born. And we're doing well financially now. But there are a lot of, I know that feeling of when you have a baby and you look at the baby and you think, oh my goodness, I have a responsibility financially. Like, there are lots of different responsibilities you have from having a kid. And one of my primary thoughts when we had kids was I got to work a lot harder than I did before when I was just me and my wife, because now I have a child to be responsible for. So maybe I'm psychologically different than a lot of some of those people out there who are obsessed with the idea of paternity leave. Because my first thought was not, hey, I've got to make sure that I bond with the baby and stay home from work. My first thought was, I got to work harder to make sure that this baby is taken care of in a way that our family is going to be able to thrive. That, like, I felt more responsibility to provide. And I think that's how most men feel. So the idea that, Buck, and you don't, at some point, I'm curious when you have your child.
I'm working on it.
We want you to get married first.
Yeah,
right?
That's the plan.
Yeah, but that was my primary thought. And I think there are probably a lot of dads out there. And I think there are a lot of women also that when they have a kid, they think even more, we got to make sure that we take care of them.
Well, there's a couple of women, friends of mine, who are actually listening to this show, who were texting me right as we took a brief commercial interlude there. And they're saying the thing that this is coming from females who listen to the show, what would we say before? They are not non-prostate owners,
non-prostate owners
in our audience are saying neither, you know, Pete Buttigieg nor his husband gave birth.
Yes.
This is neither of them gave birth. They adopted. Look, adoption is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Yes. Absolutely. And it's fantastic. And they should be able to celebrate, you know, but neither of them gave physical birth. And so that does change. And the women are the ones who are reaching out. That does change the calculation here for how much time you need to recover.
In fact, that's the entire initial purpose of maternity leave, is it is a physically grueling undertaking to have a baby. And so we don't even know, to my knowledge, who gave birth to the baby that Mayor Pete and his partner are now raising. I don't even know. I mean, I hope she got maternity leave because she actually went through the physically grueling and laborious process of holding a baby for 9 months and then delivering it. But to me, this is part and parcel of this idea of trying to pretend that men and women are the same, right? Like, but maternity leave is a necessary and proper, and frankly, I think should be supported as much as it can, because when we had kids at 28 years old, I was 28, my wife had to go back to work really quick and had to use her paid time off for maternity leave. She's a public school guidance counselor in Nashville. And that was something that was stressful to us because we couldn't afford for her to take off for months and months unpaid. And that's the process, I think, that still is in play there.
I think
the idea that I'm not going to work for months is crazy.
I think we've covered this one. Tell us about what you're excited about with the Atlanta baseball situation that you were trying to explain to me. You're using all these acronyms.
Yeah,
it's like the CIA. If you don't know the acronyms, the MLS, CST, and all this stuff that you're talking about, I'm like, what are these acronyms for baseball?
So I am broadcasting here in Atlanta from Extra 106.3, our affiliate in the Atlanta area, and we appreciate them. And I am sitting next door to the Atlanta Braves Stadium. They are the Atlanta Braves affiliate. I can look out the window here and see Truist Park where the Atlanta Braves play. So, Buck, you do remember, right? Earlier in
We talked about it on the show, the baseball All-Star game got moved.
Yeah, this was before we even started on June, but it became such a big story that it was like the number one story in all of America. They pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta over the Georgia voting bill. And people in Atlanta and people in Georgia as a whole, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, were furious. So now, that was Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball's decision. The Atlanta Braves are going to be hosting the National League Championship Series. Whoever wins between the Braves and the Dodgers will play in the World Series. So Rob Manfred said, hey, Atlanta, you can't host the Major League Baseball All-Star Game because of the Georgia voting bill. And now, one-upping him in a significant way, the Braves are going to be hosting up to four NLCS games and potentially also hosting the World Series if they were to beat the Dodgers. And my question is, first of all, I love it because it's revenge for the Braves. They're going to get to host games that matter way more than the All-Star game. But is Rob Manfred going to show up? Because he said it was unacceptable for the decision that the state of Georgia made. And by the way, notice that whole voting push has just disappeared, Buck. Like, it's not even a story now. Maybe it'll resurface in 2022
because
Democrats will want to claim it's racist.
Any restriction whatsoever on voting that is meant to try to prevent voter fraud is, by Democrat talking point, by writ of the apparatus of the Democrat Party, is inherently racist. By the way, I would also point out that if you look right now at what's going on with another issue where it's very situational and people get upset, there's some redistricting happening in Illinois. The 17 congressional districts of Illinois are being redrawn by state Democrats. So that'll be 14 Democrat, 3 Republican when all is said and done. They're going to do this also in New York and Maryland and California. But Republicans don't seem like they're ready to reciprocate in Indiana, Texas, Kentucky. So when we do any redistricting, it's racist. That's what they say. When Democrats do redistricting specifically and purely for the maximum congressional Democrat seat tally they can get, that's, of course, the beautiful democracy that we have working as fit. And this is the problem, Clay. We don't seem to have standards that are applied across our political system, largely because we have a media that's 90% Democrat. So or 95%. In the case of the Major League Baseball game being moved, they moved it to Colorado, which has plenty of laws in place that, according to the standards they were holding Georgia to, Colorado has highly restrictive, racist laws. And it is a purplish state, too, so it matters.
Yeah, well, not only that, Major League Baseball is based in New York, and the restrictions on what is allowed and permissible to do from a voting perspective in New York are more stringent in many ways than what goes on in Georgia. Joe Biden's own home state of Delaware, that he's represented since 1840, it feels like, in the Senate, they have far more restrictive voting bills, and he's never said anything at all about the state of Delaware being unfair. So all of this was a trumped-up non-issue. And it's disappointing that Major League Baseball ever acquiesced to it in any manner. But as a result now, this is going to be really fascinating to see whether Rob Manfred shows up. And I hope they put him on the Jumbotron and he gets booed the likes of which you've never seen before, because this was an overwhelmingly rejected and repudiated idea by everyone, regardless of political persuasion, inside of Georgia. You know it's unpopular, Buck, because even Stacey Abrams, when it happened, tried to come out and say, hey, you know what? I didn't want this to happen. Look, Democrats can be popular, Republicans can be popular, but I'm here in this state right now, and I'll tell you this. The Atlanta Braves are popular, and the Georgia Bulldogs are popular here, and they're way more popular than either political party. You don't want to screw with either of them.
The Washington football team obviously
changed
its name
recently. That's what they're actually called,
recently.
By the way.
I know, though. I'm learning the sports stuff.
But for people out there, like when you say the Washington football team, it sounds so ridiculous. That used to be the Washington Redskins. Their new name is the Washington football team.
So the Washington football team is out there. I wonder how long the Atlanta Braves will be able to continue with their name before the, remember, the thing about the activist left is that the activist left is never satisfied. Whatever equality or whatever social justice they think they have achieved is just a step toward more, right? Because it's actually a machine for the accumulation of power. And I mean, ultimately takes us in the direction of communism, but that's a whole other conversation. I wonder how long they can keep the name the Atlanta Braves, I have to say.
And you they're on the chopping block, proverbially. By the way, they took away, for people out there who remember, for years and years, the Atlanta Braves, they would play the tomahawk chop. You know, that was one of the signature ways that you would celebrate in Atlanta. Fans are still doing it, but it has to be fan-initiated now. They decided that that was inappropriate. And by the way, it's not just the Atlanta Braves, because they've taken away the Cleveland Indian moniker now. The Kansas City Chiefs, this thing never ends. To your point, it is the tip of the progressive spear. If you ever acknowledge things are okay, they have no reason to exist, and so they have to perpetually be offended by something new.
There is no limiting principle if you accept some of the leftist revisionism and activism about these things, such that we always say, if you're going to get rid of certain monuments, Columbus Monument, for example,
yes,
the argument then to keep the Washington Monument, the argument to keep Jefferson. By the way, Thomas Jefferson statue just
removed,
got taken out of New York City's, I believe it was either the mayor, City Hall, I think it was City Hall, by Mayor Bill de Blasio, the worst mayor. And wherever you are across the country, I want you to take solace in the fact that you do not have to suffer under the absolute worst mayor in the country. I know there's some bad ones. I know there's Garcetti and there's Lightfoot and, you know, there's Bowser and there's a lot of bad mayors. De Blasio is the worst mayor in America, but they pulled the Jefferson statue out of City Hall.
They said his values didn't reflect New York City anymore.
But eventually, eventually you'll have to, they'll take it to the point where, how can we have, think of how many place names there are for indigenous tribes. Now, you would say, well, aren't we honoring them by having the names of cities, the names of states,
yes,
after native tribes or after a native word or whatever it may be? Eventually, they're going to say, no, this is essentially glorifying a conquest.
It's cultural appropriation.
It's a cultural appropriation. So it never, I just bring this up because it never ends. And this is why you have to just look at people and say, get a life, stop being so annoying. We can't all be perpetually offended, or else we won't do anything else with ourselves. We'll just roll around and cry, which I know a lot of leftists who, you know, watch MSNBC want to do. There's that Keith Olbermann video that's making the rounds right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of rolling around and cry, that guy's out of his mind. He's a sports guy who transferred over to the politics world.
Yeah, maybe that's where I'm headed. My brain's going to turn
into mush. That guy's out of his mind.
And I'm going to go insane. But this is one of the many places where Trump was right. Because remember when he said, if you start with Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and all of these Confederate monuments and memorials, eventually you're going to move to Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and all of these other American icons. And what happened? The left said, oh, Trump's lost his mind. And then what happened this past summer? Ulysses Grant, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, all of them were getting torn down.
The slopes are, in fact, slippery when you're dealing with progressives. I always like to remind everybody, they are slippery.
If we've learned anything, Buck, since 2020, there's nothing as important as a powerful immune system. Dr. Dennis Black has let us know that your goal can be to build your body's defense from the inside out, because your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with. Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. It has got over 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, probiotic and digestive enzymes. All of them are incredibly valuable. Your grandma, she told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, guess what? Most people don't. including Buck Sexton, who's about to have a big hamburger on Friday in the studio.
We have our Friday hamburger, sir. That's a thing that we do here. But
that's
there is,
why you need Texas Superfood.
I need Texas Superfood because there's just a little bit of lettuce on there. Not really a full salad on the burger, I'll tell you that much. But if you can't, won't, or don't eat, like we just described here, all your fruits and veggies, Texas Superfood was made for you. It's why I take Texas Superfood. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That website is TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't considered rescinding the key to the city, and I regard Dave as a friend and as an artist who is a genius.
Looks like the mayor of D.C. not ready to cancel Dave Chappelle, though. That was Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck at NYC. And looks like Chappelle, we knew this, that they were not going to cancel Dave Chappelle. And that's in part, I think, from the Netflix side because of the money. But also, he still has enough allies on the left, enough Democrats who are in his corner that he doesn't have to really worry about it. Clay, I also thought, because we were just talking about burgers, were you having a sandwich? Is that your preferred during the show? What were you eating there?
I was going turkey and cheese. They took care of me here in Atlanta. Allie is incredible, our producer, in terms of even thinking of things like on the road. So she had them get food for me, and so it was ready for me here during our commercial break.
I bring it up because we have Burger Friday going on here in the New York City studio. And this got me thinking about a story. This is one of my, I always say to people, just give it time and they'll figure out that what they're harassing you about when it comes to the environment, not only is it not worthwhile, it actually is counterproductive for their purposes of climate change. There is a story today. So I'm, for example, everyone knows me, I have been militantly anti-recycling, like, since I was 12.
because there's no way. Yes.
Yeah. There's no real enforcement. It's really an onerous process to actually do this recycling. It takes a tremendous amount of energy. And they've done studies. They've shown that recycling, by the way, paper bags, it turns out as well, over plastic bags, there's a tremendous amount of waste and also the trees and everything. Yeah. So they keep doing these things. With burgers, the latest of the New York Times is it turns out that those, you know, impossible,
all,
you know,
those fake
burgers that you eat might actually be, get ready for it, everybody. This is the New York Times, worse for the environment than eating a delicious, tasty, dead cow burger.
Well, it's a perfect example of every decision has a consequence. And oftentimes the consequence is as significant, if not more significant, than what you're trying to eradicate. I'll give you an example down here in Georgia. Everybody who has driven around in Georgia, kudzu, you remember, like, that was designed to stop erosion from occurring. It ended up not stopping erosion and spreading like wildfire, such that all over Georgia now it is an invasive plant that has taken over.
I remember there was a time when they were worried about fire ants across the South.
Yes.
And there was someone who was proposing, they're like, well, we need to just introduce a natural predator. And then they figured out that the only natural predator was this South American anteater. And then they figured out which weighs like, you know, 130 pounds and is like this huge furry thing. And then the only natural predator for that is a jaguar. So they're like, I don't know how much we really want to reintroduce or, you know, change around the ecosystem here because of the fire ants.
And, you know, sometimes the ecosystem changes and it gets better. For instance, there were no bees in the United States until European colonization. And then they spread across the entire United States. And I think most people think that bees are a pretty decent introductory invasive species. In the meantime, I got to tell you, how about United States Army Sergeant Mario Nelson? He's a dedicated guy, dedicated to the woman who became his wife, dedicated to our nation when he signed to join the National Guard in 2011. And he kept helping others after the 9/11 attack when he volunteered to rejoin the recovery effort at Ground Zero. He's dedicated to his daughter, Mia, who came into this world 2 years later in 2003. When he enlisted in the Army full-time in 2006, they traveled to Germany, and then he deployed to Iraq, and he'd been away for 10 months and was due back in 2 months when he was tragically killed by a rocket-propelled grenade. Since 2007, late Sergeant Nelson's wife, Mecca, has gone on to raise their daughter and earn a living to support them both. And thanks to your donations and the help of Tunnel to Towers, they received a new home on Staten Island in August 2 years ago. Mortgage-free home, thanks to you guys. There are many more heroes like Sergeant Nelson and their surviving families who need your help. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us on an open line Friday. We're going to be joined by our buddy Alex Berenson at the top of the third hour of the program. It's about 30 minutes from now, and we will talk with him about the latest data surrounding the coronavirus and the COVID madness that continues to afflict our country, although it seems to be subsiding a bit because they can't blame Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for all of the issues afflicting our country now, since most of the states with the highest level of infection now are in the Midwest and the Northeast. And Florida is, I think, other than Hawaii right now, according to the New York Times data, the lowest level of COVID anywhere in the country. But you're starting to see, Buck, a pretty significant shift in the way COVID is talked about. And this clip that we're about to play you, they have moved on now from the idea that we could ever eradicate COVID. Because remember, that's what Dr. Fauci was saying as recently as April and May, that basically the vaccine was going to eliminate COVID forever. And they now have shifted to, well, COVID's going to be here, and it is an ineradicable part of American life and world life for the future. But they still can't quite abandon the idea that that's because of all the people out there who didn't get vaccinated. Listen to this insane take from a doctor out west. Let's play it.
Sadly, today I'm here to tell you that we've lost the war, that COVID is here to stay. And the reason it is here to stay is because we cannot vaccinate enough of the public to fully eradicate the disease.
That is, by the way, Buck, let's see, that is St. Alphonsus Health System, Dr. Stephen Niemerson speaking out and trying to argue that you unvaccinated people are the reason COVID was not eradicated, which is a 1,000,000,000% indisputable lie.
And then there's also the problem of the rest of the world, Clay.
Yeah.
As we've discussed, even if there was 100% Fauci compliance all over the United States, if we did every single thing the Fauci told us, which would be insane because you'd basically be bathing in Purell head to toe, not seeing human beings and triple masking all the time, including outside, just to take the science seriously. But even if we did all of that, there would still be, oh, I don't know, the Delta variant coming from India, which was the first place that we saw it getting at least a lot of widespread transmission. There would still be COVID-19 spread all over the rest of the world. And then it's only a matter of time before you get a variant that would evade the vaccine's protection level. And we know the vaccine already wanes in protection over time, but they are preparing a narrative of, if only you had listened to us more. This is just a variation of, if you had masked harder, we wouldn't be here. All of you people who have been saying that what we tell you to do isn't good enough, it isn't going to work, you are the problem. The problem is not that clearly what we made you do, not told you, not asked you, made you do, was not enough, was not rooted in science, was rooted more so in politics than anything else. So they're coming up with the narratives in advance. They're trying to get ahead of the story.
Only 35% of people, I think, in the most recent number around the world have been vaccinated. So we're still talking about 65%, Buck, to your point on the lie that was just spread and is going to now be spread, I believe, because this will be the blame going into 2022. It'll be, hey, Biden would have fixed things sooner, but all these idiot Trump voters, the insurrectionists, the pickup driving rednecks in red states, they're the reason why COVID lingered as long as it did. We have to make sure that their preferred candidates all lose so that we don't have democracy in our country overtaken. That's what they're going to argue.
That's exactly what the narrative is going to be, because otherwise they would have to accept that there has been a massive failure. You know how I mentioned the whole world thing? There are some, meaning vaccinate the whole world. There are some out there like Ari Emanuel's brother, Zeke. Remember Ari? I'm sorry. No. What's his name? The chief of staff. I'm Rahm Emanuel. Sorry, Ari Emanuel. Different Emanuel. Yeah. Rahm Emanuel. His brother Zeke from the Obama administration. He's out there on TV saying we have to vaccinate the whole world.
This is a worldwide pandemic. We know that because Delta came into the United States. It didn't originate here. And if we want to get the world back, we have to vaccinate the whole world. And that is especially true in places that are critical for trade, travel, and other reasons. And the United States' problem here is not getting third doses to people who've already been vaccinated. It's really getting the 70-plus million people who haven't been vaccinated to get that shot.
Well, what he just said, you have to vaccinate the whole world. And then he went back into the, it's because Americans have not gotten vaccinated. It can't be both of these things.
It, first of all, the vaccine wanes. So let's just keep reinforcing that. The idea that if you vaccinate people, you are eliminating COVID, we know is not true because there are so many breakthrough cases, even for the double vaccinated and now the triple vaccinated. But larger context, to your point, Buck, Delta came out of India. Why did it come out of India? Because there are billions of people in India, most of whom had never been vaccinated. Therefore, the virus has an ability to mutate in large populations of unvaccinated people. That's not the United States now. Not compared to, I think I shared this stat with you, which blew my mind, only 4% of people in Africa have been vaccinated. That means, in theory, if there is going to be a rise of another variant, it is likely to come from somewhere else in the world. And this is why there's been a public health policy debate about whether we should use our stock of the vaccine to give boosters here in America or be shipping them around the world and try to get more people an initial vaccine as opposed to triple protection here in the United States.
So there's also the reality here of where do we go, right? What are we going to do as a because they're talking about vaccinating everybody. We got boosters. They just had Moderna. FDA advisors unanimously, this is the breaking news, unanimously have approved or endorsed the Moderna booster, right? This is just happening today. And FDA advisors vote to unanimously recommend booster doses of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. So now we're in.
Are you going to get your booster?
No.
You're done.
Blanking way.
Yeah.
No blanking way. I mean, I may know some people who have some little pieces of paper now that they can maybe do some things here and there. I don't know. I'm just telling you, there's no way there's going to be boosterism.
Because you already got the Spirit Airlines of COVID vaccines.
Well, it's the I got to tell you, I think that's a little unfair to the J&J because first you got the one shot instead of the two, and on top of that. You have a older, it's not the mRNA technology. It's a more traditional vaccine. So that was, I felt like that's at least
more,
we understand that quite a bit better and the long-term implications of it. People would tell you we understand the long-term implications of the mRNA vaccine. Really? They invented it in a year. So how long do those studies really go back? I think that's a fair question at least. And Clay, you know, on the vaccination issue, and we're kind of teeing all this up for what we'll talk to Berenson about and dive into the data in just a little bit. But on all of this, there's also the reality that there is a possibility. I can't say it's for sure that the leaky vaccines may actually contribute because people can absolutely get and spread COVID now, even if they're vaccinated. It is a scientific possibility. Not a fact, but a possibility that could actually contribute to more rapid variants because the virus is coming into contact with the defenses that the mRNA vaccine is coming up with, which then allows it to spread to other people and mutate over, you know, mutate having had that first look in a sense at our defenses. That's a theory that is a real theory that is out there as well that you will not hear Fauci talking about because it's get the shot.
Well, also because it's terrifying, right? I mean, it is absolutely terrifying to think that our own defense is a little bit like antibiotic drug resistance. If you remember, like you don't take all of your antibiotics, whatever you're trying to cure yourself from can end up getting used to it and defeat it. In the meantime, injuries happen to best of us. For exercise fanatics, there can be a time or two when you do too much, when you go too hard, and that pain can come in any number of ways when you work out. And when you have it all day, it can be life-altering. That's why there's a product available out there called Relief Factor, made by doctors, perfected over 15 years of scientific research. Relief Factor's made for you. Four key ingredients, 100% drug-free product, which goes right to joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people, including Buck's dad and my wife, have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. That tells you how effective it can be. If you're in pain right now, and you have a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate that pain, those are pretty good odds. What do you have to lose by signing up? How can they do it, Buck?
I mean, it's so easy. And you got to give it a shot. My dad loves it. Clay's wife is using it. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. You'll get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call this number now, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
when I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Thanks for being here with us. We got Alex Berenson joining in just a few minutes to talk to us about all the latest with the COVID data. That's what we're really talking about. Where are we going? What's it looking like in this winter period? We'll be discussing that. We also will return to the Biden administration supply crisis. Empty shelf Joe, they've been talking about. Empty shelf Joe, that's a hashtag. Joe Biden's actually addressing the nation right now about this because they know this looks bad. When people want to buy things and they're not on the shelf, they aren't used to seeing that. And when it's under a Biden administration that is hostile to the free market, and in some quarters, certainly hostile to capitalism, much more interested in socialism and state control of the economy, people start to wonder how much more of this are we going to face? The rising gas prices, rising inflation, nothing that really matters to you in the economy seems to be heading in the right direction. It's not all terrible, but it's obviously not good, and it's not being built back better. It's being built back worse, thanks to the people who are in charge. This is what we are looking at and dealing with right now. We said open line Friday, and we mean it, so we will get to your calls right now. We've got Dan in Texas has some interesting thoughts on the supply chain issue. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm a longtime Rush listener, and you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that. We're doing our best.
I'm a former plant manager with, 25 years experience. I'm retired, and I teach supply chain issues at a local university. And frankly, I could solve their problem blindfolded.
What is the solution?
Well, everybody in the country, really in the world, is operating on what is called just-in-time manufacturing, which is kind of morphed into what people call Lean Six Sigma. It came from Toyota, and Toyota developed this back in the 1950s. And basically, companies don't want a lot of inventory in the building. They want it. They don't want capital tied up, in terms of their cash. And they're bottlenecked out in L.A. And there's a book called The Goal that teaches people how to alleviate bottlenecks. And I've been doing this for 25 years, and I taught my kids this, and we all read The Goal, and there's certain techniques in the process you follow that to, alleviate a bottleneck. You follow these steps, and it always works.
All right. Does it surprise you that the transportation secretary would be on paternity leave in the middle of all this mess as a guy who worked in supply chain dynamics? Do you think that has an impact?
Yeah, I mean, we all know why he got maternity leave anyway. But those guys, they don't know anything. And Psaki said that she had this task force. I saw this coming back in June. I told my wife, I said, everybody's on just in time. Goods arrive just in time. And she doesn't really understand what it is. But I said, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, people don't want to have stuff on the shelf. They want to maximize the profits. But the moment then you cut that supply chain. This is why, thank you, Dan, but when people, Clay, used to do assessments of what would happen during an EMP attack, they would talk about how quickly the food supply would run out because there's so many. People don't even realize how many deliveries throughout the day their local grocery store is getting of that produce and how fragile those of the food supply lines really are in this country. John in San Antonio, Texas. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to get into the background of the 12 weeks off, the paternity leave. It's that Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA. It's a Clinton-era law that allows people 12 weeks off. And
but used to be, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not an expert in the paternity leave, and like I said, I never took it. But my understanding was that that just allowed you to take off and not lose your job, not that you were fully paid while you were gone, right? Wasn't that the initial FMLA? It just protected your ability to maintain your job, not to pay you fully for not doing your job.
That's correct. So most employers, if you have sick leave, if you have 4 weeks of sick leave, you could use that, and then the other eight would be unpaid, and it would guarantee that they had to keep your job. But the guys, to me, the guys that take it off, and it's no surprise that Mayor Pete did, is it's just an abuse of the policy. It's just an abuse of the law. They are allowed to do it, so they do it. And like I told when I called in, I was in the fire service. We only worked 10 days a month because we'd work a 48-hour shift and then have 4 days off. And these guys would take 3 months off, and so we had to fill 30 shifts with overtime.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, it's
it puts more of a burden. That's what I was saying.
When people are gone, obviously other people have to pick up the slack. John, thank you for calling in on this one. And it's just also all tied into erasing the differences. The biological reality of the sexes goes into so much of this thinking from the left. Because when you boil it all down, when you get to the bottom of it, there is a radical communist ethos that has gone deep in the Democrat Party today. They want a radical equality that makes everyone the same. Not that gives everybody equal protection under the law, but everyone is the same.
Biology except for is the
people,
sexist.
Yeah, except for the people who are telling us that everyone's the same. They get to be in a different category. They're the elite, and the rest of us need to just shut up and pretend that, you know, men can get pregnant, which they can't. Hashtag science. Isn't that fascinating?
And also, by the way, this ties in with sports, right? Like the idea that men and women compete now. You got women in UFC getting beaten up by biological men. It's crazy.
Stan, we'll try to get you the next hour. Sorry, we were going to, but we'll try to get you in if you can hold with us, because we got Alex Berenson up next, our buddy for Friday Friends, which is what we're going to start doing every Friday. Have a buddy on the show, somebody we just think you should hear from. You've heard from Alex a lot, but there'll be other people that we'll be having on every Friday. Hear some different distinct voices on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. Plus, Clay, there's some updates on that Virginia governor's race and the whole CRT situation. It is heating up. That is a critical political battleground. We'll bring you up to speed on that in the next hour. And talk about some other important things, too. That's what we got planned.
Final hour, rolling into the weekend. Come hang with us. We're going to have a good time.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.